We're going to embark tonight on the third lesson in our series on spiritual gifts. This is the third lesson, and I invite you to get your Bible so that you can read through. We're going to cover many scriptures, and you can read through these with us, and you may want to go back and study some of these scriptures later. In these lessons, we have identified three groups of spiritual gifts that are outlined in the Bible. The service gifts, which we covered last week, the ministerial office gifts, which we're covering today, and then the supernatural gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Today we're going to look at these ministerial office gifts, or the fivefold ministry, as they are more commonly referred to. As a little introduction, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, Paul wrote to the church. He said, "Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." We've been talking about spiritual gifts, which are given to the church, to the body of Christ, so that we would not be lacking and we would be able to minister to the needs of our world through the power of the Spirit of God. One thing that describes the New Testament church that was built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, one thing that you see about them, they were led according to the Spirit of God. They were led according to God's Spirit. They were Spirit-led. And being led of the Spirit, it was more important to them than human understanding. It was of greater value than being politically correct. It was more serious to the apostles than what was popular in public opinion. There are many today, even religious leaders or theologians or professors in universities, who tell us that the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God was just for the 12 apostles or only for the early believers because they needed it in those days. But then they will say, well, times have changed now and we've now evolved. We're educationally superior to what they understood back then. They try to say that the demonstration of the Spirit and the leading of the Spirit was for Bible days, but not for today. They say, well, now the church has progressed to the place that we can function and we can minister without the leading of the Spirit. And they try to paint anybody who seeks after those spiritual things as religious fanatics. But we reject that view. Amen. We reject that. If you study the Bible from the beginning of the church age, it's obvious to see there is a master plan that is designed by God that calls for his church to be established. The plan gives direction for the church's design, how it's to be structured, how it should operate. And the promise that we find from Jesus Christ himself is that if his church, if it will properly follow his design, then his church can't be destroyed by Satan. It can't be destroyed by man himself. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. God is building his church. And it's not going to be built according to man. It won't be as human understanding thinks the church ought to be. But it's going to be according to the standards that God has set for his church. And we've got to understand that. Too many times, you know, people think, well, the church is all about them. It's all about what's pleasing to them and what makes them happy. They think, well, the church couldn't exist without me. And who do we think we are? I want to tell you, this is God's church. It's not our church. We don't own this. He's the one that paid the price for this church, and he's the builder. He's the one who is fitly framing it all together, and it's in his design. And whatever part we get to play in the building of his church, it's by his design. It's according to his calling. And if we were to get lifted up in ourselves and think that we're just God's gift to the church, and so we're going to try to control it, and we're going to try to build it like we want it to be built, it's nothing for the master builder to reach down and to pull our part out and to replace us. And the church would go on without us. It's God's church, but we are blessed to be a part of the church of God. So God is building his church, and today we're looking at the ministerial office gifts. These were given by God to the church, and we see part of that structure. This is the structure that God has designed for his church. Let's read about it today. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4, and I encourage you, read along with us, study these verses, and go back and make a study of this for yourself. This is very important. If we're going to be the church that God has established us to be, then we need to understand these ministerial office gifts. Let's start reading today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul writes, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Verse 4, he says, "There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." Verse 5, a very familiar scripture, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism." Aren't you thankful that you know who that one Lord is, and you're part of that one faith, and you've been baptized according to that one baptism? Amen. If you've not been baptized like they were in the Bible days, then you need to be baptized. Contact us and let us know, and we will make a way to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 6 continues, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." So what are those gifts? Let's go on down to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Here in Ephesians chapter 4, we find the ministerial office gifts, or the fivefold ministry. Now, notice what the purpose of these ministerial office gifts are. It's to perfect the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. This process, this purpose, it's an ongoing thing. It was not just completed at the beginning of the church age, and then God says, "Well, no more, we're done." No, these gifts were to exist in operation until the end. And he said in verse 13, he said, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That didn't happen in Bible days for all of us who are living in the church today. But that is still continuing, and it will continue until the end of the church age, which that will ultimately end in the rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, "So that ye are come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we know that these gifts are to be in the church. They are to be operating until Jesus comes. And thank God, because we need them if we're going to do the work and be the church that God has designed us to be. This fivefold ministry, the ministerial office gifts, this is the way that God has given the church to perfect the saints and to prepare them for the ministry that he has called them to. Last week, we looked at the service gifts mentioned in Romans 12 and their abilities, their functions within the church. And then these five ministerial office gifts given in Ephesians 4, they are more formal. They are more defined ministries of the church. And these are recognized leaders in the church, responsible for equipping others and helping the church grow into maturity. And the nature of their work calls for them to be preachers of the gospel. So we're thankful for the gifts that God has given, the service gifts, as we taught. Every one of us have at least one of those service gifts and should be involved in the service and the ministry of the church. And then these ministerial office gifts, these are specifically more defined, formal ministers or preachers of the gospel that are a blessing to the church. So what are these five ministerial office gifts? They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We're going to look more closely at each of these. An apostle is literally someone who is sent. They are someone who is commissioned by God as an ambassador of the gospel. And you see miraculous powers in the work of the ministry that God calls them to do. Apostle is pronounced apostole in the Greek, and it has its root word apostolo, which means to be set apart or to send forth or to send out on a mission. So an apostle is one who is commissioned of the Lord and of the church to go out into different areas and to establish the gospel and to set up the church. This is someone whose ministry is accompanied by miracles. 2 Corinthians 12:12 points out that the ministry of an apostle is accompanied by signs, wonders, and mighty deeds or miracles. Of course, no one can take the place of the original 12 apostles. They were each eyewitnesses of the Lord, but there are others who do fill an apostolic office. For instance, the church at Antioch, they sent out Paul and Barnabas as pioneer missionaries, and they became known as apostles, even though neither one of them were part of the original 12. James, the Lord's brother, was also an apostle, and he was not one of the 12, but he was the leader of the church in Jerusalem. In Romans 16:7, Paul writes of Andronicus and Junia, who were also apostles. Now, some believe that this was not two men, but this could have been a man and his wife. They were of note among the apostles. So first of all, we have apostles, and then next we have a prophet. This is someone who imparts special messages or special direction from God. Now, from what I've studied, there are two levels here. The higher level of prophecy, which has to do with foretelling the future, and then the lower level of prophecy, which is still very, very important, but this is more preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit or speaking divine and godly things to people. Every preacher should preach under the anointing of God, but the prophet is called specifically to proclaim the will of God or a special message that God has about the future of the church. There were many Old Testament prophets. Agabus, though, is a great example of a prophet in the New Testament. Acts 11:27 tells us, "And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." So he was a prophet foretelling the future, telling the future before it happened, writing history in advance. Now, throughout history, there have been many false prophets and false apostles who apparently they wanted the honor, or maybe what they perceived was power, but they were not of God. God told the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars." Them which say they are apostles and are not. Also in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So there's false apostles and false prophets. Now, I believe we've got to be very, very careful about someone claiming that they are an apostle or a prophet. I realize that is maybe done in some religious circles, and it just always makes me cringe a little bit. But it's not that we should shy away from these offices. I just believe that the gift makes room for itself. If it's of God, if it's from God, then he will open the door for that gift to be used in the church. And Proverbs 18:16 tells us, "A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men." We need apostles in the church today. We need prophets. We should recognize these offices. We should encourage them. We need apostolic and prophetic ministries in our midst, but they should be established by God and not by human ambition. Amen. Next, we see an evangelist. An evangelist is literally, he is a preacher of the gospel. And they proclaim the good news of the gospel to those who are not saved. Today, we often use the term evangelist to describe traveling ministers who preach at churches around North America or around the world. But this ministerial office, it is specifically those preachers who are particularly effective in winning souls, whether individually, one-on-one, or maybe through public preaching. In the book of Acts, we see that Philip was an evangelist. An evangelist might be someone who evangelizes a neighborhood, maybe a school, a job, or a city. And there are times that God will call someone to an office that may not be their primary office, but it's one they can operate in for the good of God's will. Timothy was a pastor, but in 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul told him, "Do the work of an evangelist." I remember hearing and reading of the accounts of Brother C.P. Kilgore from many years ago, and he was father to Brother James Kilgore, who pastored in Houston, Texas for many, many years. He was district superintendent there in Texas, and he was also president of Texas Bible College when I attended. He had passed away a few years ago, but his father, C.P. Kilgore, had traveled extensively evangelizing and winning the lost. He would stay in a town or an area for some time. He would be preaching and winning people until there was a church. It'd be a small church, and then he would move on to another area and do the same thing again. One of the churches that I've preached at in Texas was established by Brother C.P. Kilgore, and he operated in the office of an evangelist. A pastor is one who leads and cares for God's people. The word pastor, it literally means a shepherd. The Bible also speaks of the pastor. It also calls him, it could be a bishop or an overseer, an elder. Listen to Peter's advice to pastors in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." So Peter, he says that pastors should feed the flock of God. Spiritual food is necessary if we are going to survive spiritually. And pastors are to take the oversight of the local church, not because they have to, but because they are willing to. Not for filthy lucre, not for what they can get out of it, but because they are ready to serve God, neither as lords over God's heritage. Pastors, they're not to be domineering over those that God has given them to lead, but they should lead by being an example to the flock. They are under shepherds. They are the under shepherd. Of course, Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd will appear, and his reward for all of these under shepherds will be a crown of glory that does not fade away. And then fifth, we see a teacher. A teacher is one who instructs in God's word. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 tells us that there were many teachers in the first church. Teaching is necessary in order to establish us and to prepare us, in order to ground us for the work that God has called us to do. Now, if you read here in Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, the word "some" is there four times, and it separately describes apostles, prophets, evangelists, and then pastors and teachers as one unit. We describe this as being the fivefold ministry, but the implication here is that the same person may fill both the role of pastor and the role of teacher. And yes, the pastor must do the work of an evangelist at times, but their primary ministry, the ministry of the Word of God, their primary ministry is in teaching. Paul wrote to Timothy in two different places that a pastor must be able to teach. And there are those ministers who have maybe a great specific ability to teach, but all pastors must also be teachers. So God gives these ministerial offices to the church for the perfecting or the equipping of the church. And they are each necessary. They each have a function and a purpose, and all are important for the saints of God to grow into what we need to be. The saints of God must be equipped so that we can do the work of ministry or the work of service, the various functions of the church. Amen. You're not here just to sit on a pew and just never be active and never be involved. But here at Harvest, we believe every believer, every person in the church should have a ministry. It may not be a public ministry. They may not be a preacher per se, but they should have a specific place of service in the body of Christ. And it's the task of the apostles, the pastors, the evangelists, prophets, and teachers to help every saint find their work of ministry and to train them that do the work within that body. These five ministerial offices, the fivefold ministry, they are to inspire and motivate, to train and instruct and disciple, to prepare the saints so that every one of us are active parts and productive members of the body. It really is so sad when people just come to church services so that they can say they belong to a church and that's it. And I tell you, there's more to it than that. You're missing your calling if you're not involved. You're missing your purpose. And we are all to be a part of the body, a functioning part of the body. Every part of the body ought to have a function. It's hard to carry dead weight, and we don't want to be dead weight in the church. It's hard to carry dead weight, but we should desire to be a functioning part of the body, however small or however large that God calls us to be. And the five ministerial offices that God's given to the church, they help us develop into our proper place in the body of Christ. When every member is doing their part, when every part of the body is functioning, when we are all functioning and performing properly, then the whole body is edified. The whole body is built up. I tell you, the goal should be for us to all grow into our full potential in Jesus Christ and to become mature Christians. You know, something's wrong if we all stay a baby forever. And spiritual maturity is not just about how long we've been coming to church. We've all known people who've gone to church maybe all of their life, but they're still spiritual babies. That's not the will of God. Our goal should be to become mature Christians. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that's why the fivefold ministry is given, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So the fivefold ministry is to perfect us so that we can measure up to the standard of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. These ministerial office gifts have been given to the church by God, and we need them in order for the church to become everything that we have the potential to be. And we are thankful for various ones that have served in these ministerial offices here at Harvest. As a little church history, you may not be aware of this, but our church was established here in Springfield in 1955, by brother and sister Eugene McCarthy. They came from St. Louis, from the Apostolic Pentecostal Church that was pastored there at that time by Brother Harry Branding. Brother McCarthy was sent here to Springfield by his pastor and by that church that was at 13th and Gravoy there in St. Louis. He was sent here to Springfield to establish this church. And they began the church in their home, and it has grown to what it is now today. In the meaning of the office of apostle that we've studied here today, which is one who is commissioned and sent to go into an area to establish the gospel, to set up the church, whose ministry is accompanied by miracles, I believe that Brother McCarthy was an apostle to this area. And that is what they did. They went to an unchurched city. They broke through spiritual darkness in order to establish a work. And there were miracles along the way, and God enabled them to do great things. Amen. Harvest has also had the ministry of prophets over the years. Brother Mark Morgan, I believe, has been that for this church. Of course, he was out of this church, but if you go to our website and if you will listen to the last time he preached here, it was in April of 2018. If we've ever had the voice of a prophet here at Harvest, it was definitely in that sermon. It was God's building material, April of 2018. And especially the last 8 minutes or so of that sermon, it was at a very critical point in our church's history, and I tell you, he was right on prophetically. And many totally missed it at the time, didn't realize what it was about. But if you go back and listen to it, you'll be like, wow, he nailed it. And it was the voice of a prophet. We have had evangelists who have been a great blessing to us. Some of them may be pastors and missionaries as well, but God sent them here as an evangelist to our church, preaching the gospel and seeing souls saved, people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Be praying with me, because I really believe that we're about to enter into a great season of harvest. And we need a great evangelist who will make a good connection with our church and with this area. And we will see a great influx of souls as they help us evangelize the lost. Of course, pastors and teachers, I'm privileged to serve as the fifth pastor of this church, but we give honor to our previous pastors, of course, Brother Eugene McCarthy, our founding pastor, Brother Larry Fletcher, Brother Larry Eddings, Brother Ken James, and now us as your pastor. But what a blessing to feed the flock, to be the under shepherd under the chief shepherd, and to oversee the church, not as Lord over God's heritage, but God help me to be an example to the flock of God. We need these five ministerial office gifts. That they were not just for the New Testament church and then not for the church today, but no, they are still for us today until the Lord returns for his church. And they were given so we can be perfected for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. If you notice with me, it says God gave. They were gifts God gave. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that he took them away. So that means they are still for today. And we need these ministerial office gifts operating in our church, ministers and preachers of the gospel who have been called by God to serve as that function for us. And I believe that God is going to bring a great harvest of souls in the last days. And we need the fivefold ministry in the church. In closing today, I just want to ask that you would pray with me. God, help us to see the fivefold ministry in full operation here at Harvest. I don't believe that we can fully be the church that God has called us to be, living up to our full potential, unless we have the fivefold ministry in operation here. So would you pray with me? God, help us to see that. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these gifts that you have given us. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that clearly lays out these gifts for the church in the ministerial office, the fivefold ministry. I pray, God, that you would help each of these gifts to be operating here at Harvest. I pray, God, that you would make the right connections with these preachers and ministers of the gospel. I pray, God, that we would see every one of these offices functioning and that your work would be done, God, so that the church would be edified and Lord, the saints of God would be perfected and developed for the work of ministry. I pray, God, that you would enable this. Let this be a God thing. Let it be a supernatural thing, Lord, that you have given these gifts to the church, and we are going to see great revival and a great harvest of souls as people come into the church and they grow and they're perfected, and then they turn around and do the work of ministry and reach others themselves. Lord, I thank you for this promise. I thank you, Lord, you've given this to us. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be developed into the church that you have called us to be and to fully be functioning in the fivefold ministry. Amen, amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, it's been great here this time of teaching tonight. Hope that you've enjoyed this. Hope it's been educational, that you've learned something. Praise the Lord. God bless you. We miss you. And we're looking forward to getting together. If you have a special prayer need, please let us know. We're praying with you and looking forward to one day soon when we're going to gather together and have a great celebration. God bless you tonight.